ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Because they put you in the box of another person. I've had people come to meet me and say, Pastor Shex, you remind me of this person or you remind me of that person. Usually they're pastors with big churches. So usually when they say meet, I'm like, all right. You know, I think it's a good thing. But as time goes on, when my own uniqueness as a pastor begins to show, then they will come and say things like, Pastor, you shouldn't be behaving like this. After all, the man that you resemble doesn't behave like this. I'm not him. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not him. I'm not that person. It's the same thing. People are in courtship. They're saying that, do you know what? You remind me of my mom. Why are you saying that like that? You remind me of my mom. Of course, there has to be an aspect that will remind you. But as long as, if that's the person's reference point for saying he wants to marry you, there will be trouble down the road. Because you're not his mom. And it simply means that it is not given to him to know your uniqueness. It's not given to that person. And that is already a red flag. Now listen, so it is not given to them to know, it wasn't given to them to know his ID. When people don't see your eternal identity, they are not called to you. When people do not recognize who you are spiritually, they are unequally yoked to you. Unequal yoking does not have to be with an unbeliever. An unequal yoking has to be with someone who doesn't believe what you believe the way you see it. It simply means that there is a difference in analogy. There is a fundamental difference. It doesn't mean that they are bad, but it means you don't fit. It means you don't fit. You don't fit. Listen, the Bible says that when Paul came, after Paul got saved, the Bible says in the book of Paul was recounting this in Galatians, and we saw it in Acts. The Bible says that Paul came down to Jerusalem after he had become saved, and Paul wanted to associate with the apostolic fathers. And the Bible says that when Paul came to Jerusalem, the Bible says the people were running away from him. The Bible says that the only person that received him was Barnabas. And the Bible says, and Barnabas was the one who took him and brought him to the saints in Jerusalem and said, truly, this man is now one of us. Paul said that at that point in time, that it was only Peter that he spent 15 days with. He said the rest of the apostles, none of them saw him. None of them saw him. Because Paul wanted to meet with them. These were the Lord's brothers. But at the fullness of time, Paul understood that the church in Jerusalem could not receive him because their message was still attached to circumcision and his was attached to grace. If Paul had become yoked with them, even when God started to give him the message of grace and the message of faith, of salvation through faith that he preached to the Gentiles, if he was attached to the Jerusalem church, he would never have been comfortable to preach it. And he would have messed up. Because 2/3 of the New Testament that Paul wrote was for him to reveal that message. And that is why there are certain people that if they are not associating with you, it is because you don't need them. You might admire them now, but they are not needful for where you're going. They're not needful. Your uncle is not needful because he will take the credit for your success. And God doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. He doesn't want to share it with anybody. So the Bible says here that Jesus, the moment Peter identifies him, and Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Then in verse 21, the Bible says that Jesus begins to share his destiny, where he was going to. Now, this is it. Jesus only starts to share his full identity when he sees that God himself has revealed his identity to them first. Then he begins to disclose things deeply. Listen, I can't force my identity on you if God does not reveal it to you. You don't have the capacity to receive it. You can't. You can't. When God said to Mary, when the angel said to Mary, "You will have a baby." Before that, the Bible says Mary was espoused to Joseph. To be espoused means that she was already his fiancée. It meant that everything was concluded. She was going to marry him. When the angel started to reveal her destiny to her, and she said, she didn't say to him, "Let me go and take permission first for me to agree with this." She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Then the Bible says that she got up from there and went to look for Elizabeth, not to look for Joseph. The Bible says that when Joseph found out, Joseph was going to drive her away. And she did not try to explain it to him. Why? There's something Femi Adu always says that I always love. You cannot reduce a revelation to an explanation. If God does not reveal it to you, you will never get it. And that is why some of us are selling ourselves short. You are trying to reveal it to people. "You know, the Lord has called me. You know, I'm an apostle to the nations. I'm being sent to preach the word of faith." They'll just be looking at you. "What's wrong with this one?" It is not given to them. Someone said to me, "How come every time you come to Nigeria, it is Lighthouse that you go and preach?" I said, "It is because it is given to pastor to identify who I am in the spirit." It's given to him. He accepts it. He's received it. Think about it now. Am I not a redeemed pastor? Shouldn't I be in one parish this morning? It's not everybody that knows. Do you get what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, even though they might accept you that you're a man of God, they might not have the capacity to receive what you preach. But when I'm here, I'm free. I can't preach everywhere. And if you're not free, then you're going to be trying to explain yourself. And that's what a lot of us are doing. We are selling ourselves short. Because the moment you try to explain it, then you sell it short. Because now you want to break it down to a way that they can receive it. And the way you are breaking it down is actually spoiling it. So before you say that you want to begin to disclose things. That's why when people, I always say this to people. I said that in everyone, the Bible says that Jesus was in the flesh, born after the seed of David. The Bible says, but in the spirit, after the Holy Spirit himself. Everyone under my voice, you have your human nature, you have your divine nature. Your destiny is attached to your divine nature, not your human nature. And if people do not recognize and buy into the divine nature that God has given to you, they can't go far with you. They can at best be acquaintances. They are not friends. Because my friend is a covenant word. You can't just be saying everybody, "Ah, he's my friend, he's my very good friend." He's not your friend. He's not your friend. Your friend can go with you in the journey of life. The Bible says when Jesus sees that God has revealed it to Peter, then he now begins to share with them. "This is why I came." Because now it was a sign to him. Now they have the capacity to receive my truth. So when I'm talking relationships with single people, and they're saying, Pastor, when should I let him know the deep things about me? Let discern it first. Let the Holy Spirit show you that he has understood your identity in the Spirit. Then you can now explain it. But revelation must always precede explanation. That's how we operate as children of God. Revelation. I'm talking even in business. You're entering a business with someone. The person wants to be doing bribes. They say, ah, don't you know I'm a man of God? You should have allowed the Holy Spirit reveal it to him first. If the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him first, that this one, his purpose. See, Laban said, I understand that I'm blessed because of you. So because of that, Jacob did not need to compromise because Laban understood his purpose. So Laban's own was, look, just be in my company. If the Holy Spirit has actually revealed it to the person first, before the person starts to talk nonsense, they'll say, man of God, please, I think you should leave the room for this conversation. You will now be the one that, no, I'm not leaving. You'll now be like, ah, we are stuck. Oh. People will be like, but you can do without it. No, I know what God revealed to me about this person. You can't touch him. But when you get into something and then it is after that now that you are now saying, eh, don't you know I'm a Christian? I'm actually a deacon in my church. Church, are you with me this morning? All right. Let me move on very quickly. So we must understand this. We must discern. It is necessary we allow God lead us in how we assign and choose relationships. Let it not be by sentiments. Because you are my natural brother, and this is my natural brother here, does not mean that you'll be my assistant pastor. Did you understand? It's not family inheritance. It comes by calling. And you know that's why for a lot of believers, we've run into trouble because you start a company. God didn't tell you to employ your relatives. God showed you the people. Then your mom will come and said, ah, well, Oshamua Buru is not very happy. You are doing very well. You should extend a wrong hand, a left hand of fellowship, not right hand. You should bring him into the company. And God, And then you bring the person in. And because he's your, let me tell you something. Because the person is your relative, he will never be satisfied with a salary. Because I'm your brother. I knew you when you had nothing. I should have what you have. But the person that God has called to you, they understand their part to play. They understand their part to play. It applies in every area. We're not just talking about church. That's why I'm someone, you come into my parish, you can be a pastor from somewhere else. You come in, you sit down, and you serve. And let me see that by revelation, you understand the culture in your house, in the house. Then you can serve. But if you just come in and we say, you've been somewhere else, then you want to bring the culture that is not part of our own infrastructure in God. And then you will cause destruction or destructure. So that, let me finish the rhyme. You knock things out. And this is what happens. We pick out of sentiments. We pick out of sentiments. You know, I love the story of Elijah and Elisha so much. The only reason why Elisha could inherit a double portion was because God at first revealed his identity to Elijah. And a double portion did not mean that he had twice of what Elijah had. Double portion is the portion given to the firstborn, the successor. That's what it means to have the double portion. It is the portion given to the successor. By the time Elisha joined Elijah in ministry, he was not one of the sons of the prophets. Remember the day that God took Elijah away. They were passing. They went from Gilgal. They went to Bethel. They went to Jericho. They came to the Jordan. At every port, there was a school of the sons of the prophet. Elisha was not one of them. So he was not even in the lane. The Bible says he was pouring water on Elijah's hands. And he wasn't pouring water because he didn't have anything better to do. Because before Elijah met him, the Bible says that he was handling 12 yokes of oxen. That is what we call mechanized farming in today's age. Mechanized farming. He was a wealthy person. But God had revealed it to Elijah. When Elijah placed his cloak on Elisha, it resonated with Elisha. There was a soul tie. He started to follow him. By the time Elijah asked him and said, give me a double portion. When Elijah said it is hard, he wasn't saying it is, he was saying it is hard for you to outrun all these people. All these people that are on the queue. He says, but if you see me when I go. This tells me that mantles are exchanged by what you see and what you hear. Because the same thing God said to Moses. He said, gather 70 men. I will come and I will speak with you. And as I'm speaking with you, I will be putting your grace upon their lives. It doesn't come by politicking. You can't move into position by politicking your way. It comes by sight and by hearing. And the Bible says that, but because Elijah already knew what God had said, Elijah had no problem. If Elijah did not know, he said, give me a double portion of your anointing. I told my friend, will you get out of here? Go and wash my clothes. You are here to pour water on my hands. Look at the sons of the prophet, the most senior son. That one too will come out. Yes, sir. You were the one that will succeed me. You see, this is why I tell people, you don't just join church. You don't join a church because of popularity. If it is not given, if God did not plant you there, if you want, serve from today till tomorrow, the man of God will never see you on his radar because you were never meant to be there. Even in the places that we work, you don't work for a salary, you work for an inheritance. Are you with me? Never work for a salary. You work for an inheritance. And let me explain it to you. The Bible says something. It said that you cannot serve God and mammon. He actually said it like this. He said that if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to another, who will give you your own? If you've not been faithful in that which belongs to another, who will give you your own? He said that if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you true riches? True riches is talking about your inheritance in God. Why God placed you on the earth. True riches is talking about your purpose. Church, are you with me this morning? Because you're a bit too quiet. Huh? Are you taking it in? I'm not trying to constipate you. See, true riches. How will I do this now? Let me take us to that scripture. Let me take us to that scripture. I believe it's, I'll use this last few minutes. I'll take us to that scripture. And why I'm saying this is because we live in a day and an age where, as people, we govern things. Matthew 6:24. I'll first read Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one or love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I was saying this earlier in the week at the conference where I was preaching. I said that mammon is your heart's desire that rules you. That's what mammon is. Mammon is not just money. Mammon is your heart's desire that rules you. How does mammon rule you? When God created you and I, before he created us, the Bible says that God had made everything. He made everything for our pleasure. The Bible says that he has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and what? Godliness. They are for us. They are outside of us. Then God created, placed in us a heart. And the heart was for him to inhabit. And from the heart, he was going to help us handle everything he had given to us. But when man fell, God was put out of the place of the heart. And listen, man was only created to worship God, who occupied his heart. But when man fell, what was supposed to serve man, man began to worship. Because man was created to worship. Man must worship something. You can worship a job, you can worship a career, you can worship the notion of a country, you can worship a spouse. Man was created to worship something. So anything that rules you as a person, that controls your life, and that you prioritize over God is mammon. Even for a pastor, mammon can be his ministry. Once he prioritizes it over God. Now, the Bible now says in that same Matthew 16, but earlier, I think it's from verse 9 or so, the Bible is speaking about, he said that you should make to yourself friends with unfaithful mammon. It says, make to yourself friends with unfaithful mammon. Now, this is the purpose of mammon. Mammon is there in your life for you to master it. The purpose of mammon is mastery. And that can be your money, that can be your pride, that can be your flesh. The reason how you make friends with unfaithful mammon is you master mammon. So anytime I give an offering or I pay my tithe, I have mastered money. I have mastered money. I have told money, you don't have authority over me. When I go into a place and instead of my flesh to lift up, I'm able to control myself, I have mastered my pride. I've mastered my pride. Now, let's get down to the place of inheritance. When David, the Bible says that he was taking care of his father's sheep. The Bible says that one day while taking care of his father's sheep, a lion and a bear, they came. David killed them. Now, when it was time for God to anoint in the house of Jesse, he said that David was a man after his own heart. And David was anointed. But before David was anointed, David's older brother by the name of Eliab came up. And God said concerning Eliab, that when Samuel saw Eliab, Samuel said, this is the one. God said, he is not the one. God said, because man looks on the outward. He said, but me, I look on the heart. He said, I am not anointing this one. He said, because I've rejected him. I said to them on Thursday where I was reading, I said, God rejected him because God actually considered him. If he was not considered, he would not be rejected. The other brothers were not even considered. So those ones just said, not this one, not this one, not this one. No, no, no. I've rejected this one. Now, the purpose for the rejection now came up in verse 17. Because in chapter 17, this is why I say you walk for your inheritance. This is why you and I, this is why we do what we do. When they got before Saul, the Bible says that Eliab said to Samuel, he said, who did you leave your few sheep with? He said, who did you leave your few sheep with? David answered him and said, is there not a God? So he went to Saul. Saul said that you can't fight Goliath. He said, when a lion and a bear came against my father's sheep. Now, even though the sheep were few, the way David spoke about the sheep, he didn't talk about them as if they were few. He spoke about them as responsibility, something very important. Eliab, who was supposed to be the firstborn, spoke of his own father's inheritance as if it was small. When God saw that Eliab despised his father's inheritance, God disqualified him from being king. When God saw that even though his father's inheritance was small, David was faithful to his father's inheritance, God knew he could trust him with Israel. So, where you are working, if you think you are working for a salary, If the salary is small, you will do the job anyhow and you disqualify yourself from something greater. But if you are working and you understand that where I'm working, this is this man's life and I'm giving myself to him, at the fullness of time, God will qualify you for something greater. That's why I say we work for an inheritance. We work for an inheritance. But the point is this. We must discern the right relationship that we will even work for. Lighthouse, this is the message that I brought to you this morning. You've got to discern your relationships. And honestly, this is a message that God has given to me to be sharing everywhere I go. Let's start to discern our relationships. I believe that some of us are already in relationships that you know this thing is an unequal yoking. Your relationship is like Saul. When strife happens, when strife begins to happen, do not get into the mare of strife that you fight back. Release the person and let the person go. The person might even take more than what is due them. But you must always remember this. Your resource is not from the earth. It is from your Father in heaven. And from that place, you can never run out of resources. Especially when you do it out of obedience. The same land that Lot rejected is the land that God later said flows with milk and honey. Why? Because the moment Abraham took possession of that land started to turn around. We prosper not because of the places we go to. Places prosper because we show up there. That's your inheritance as a child of God. You show up in that company and the company begins to bloom. The company, Jacob said, I knew what you had, Laban, when I came. I knew what you had. Now you are now blaming me. We carry a life-giving spirit. We carry a life-giving force. But you see, the truth is this. The grace of God and the Spirit of God in our lives will only be activated where we are, when we are where God wants us to be. When you are in the wrong place, it will remain dormant. When you are attached to the wrong person, it will remain dormant. When you're in the right place, yoked to the right person, operating the right way, nothing can stop us. Shall we rise to our feet? If you know that this word has touched you this morning, I don't know how you want to do it, but just go ahead and begin to give God the glory. Just go ahead and begin to give Him the honor. Just go ahead and begin to give Him the adoration and the praise. Just go ahead and bless His name and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the people in my lives. I thank you for the doors. I thank you for the opportunities. I thank you, Father, my God, for the places that you have placed me, for the plantings that you have located and you have situated me in. Father, I bless your name. I magnify, I adore, and I glory. Come on, go ahead and bless His name. Let's stop looking around. Let us be in the present. You've just received the word today. Let's maximize it for the next 2 minutes. Just go ahead and bless Him. Thank Him for those doors. Thank Him for the doors of breakthrough. Thank Him for the doors of opportunity. Thank Him for the doors of grace. Thank Him for the doors of promotion that He has brought across your way. Oh, just go ahead and bless Him. And now I want you to begin to thank Him for every door that has closed. Thank Him for the people that walked away from you. Thank Him for those people, even for some of the people that might have left this church, that you might have been hurt when they left. Thank Him because that season has come to move on. Just go ahead and bless His name. That Lord, I thank you, oh God, because my life is in your hands. My purposes are in your hands. My plans and my aspirations, they are in your hands. I thank you, oh God, because my destiny, oh God, cannot be held down by any man or by any woman or by any helper. Just go ahead and bless His name in the name of Jesus. I want you now to lift up your voices and begin to declare that even in the next season of life, that the doors that God has prepared for you, in relationships that God will give you the grace that you will discern them correctly in the name of Jesus. That you will not be led by your flesh. You will not be led by your own heart's desire. You will not be led by your own thoughts. But that God himself, he will order your steps. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous, that they are ordered by God. Go ahead and declare it, that your steps are ordered, and God brings you into the place of equal yoking in the name of Jesus. That God brings you into the place of destiny and purpose through that relationship in the name of Jesus.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,